Today is a very special day in the life of our parish. Today at the 9 o'clock service, we joined in congratulating 27 children who graduated from their communion class. And also today at this service, we will welcome Elliot George Funk, Richard Griffin Crowder, Paxton Blake Minor, and Reese Catherine Spencer into our family through the waters of holy baptism. What a wonderful chance to celebrate not only our own relationships as church family, but God at work in our own lives. I love that our community is joining in these two great sacraments today. It seems perfect for the season that St. Paul's is in right now. And I'm not just talking about the Lenten season, but the season of our lives together. Recently, members of our community have gone through communion classes, confirmation classes, Lenten studies, baptismal courses, and of course, the usual Sunday school and Bible study opportunities. And the list can go on from there. These various programs are not simply there to educate us more about God, but to engage our faith both personally and communally together. And the sacraments do the same thing. Baptism is not just an outward sign of washing. It isn't just water and oil on the head. I actually had a friend once who, in talking about baptism and the various ways that many churches do it, once said, "I don't care if you've been sprinkled or if you've been dunked. If you don't know Jesus, you just got wet." And while I feel like that statement is really funny and a bit drastic, it does carry the message across. It carries elements of truth. In our baptism, we are brought into the household of God. We are initiated into this Christian tradition that is centuries old. And even better yet, we are reminded that God adopts us as God's children through Jesus Christ. We are not rejects of the world, but God's very own. And in the sacrament of communion, or the Holy Eucharist, as we also call it, we join together to remember Christ's death and resurrection, and also to literally embody within ourselves real food. Real food that is not only nourishment, but a physical union with the presence of God. Now, if I were a stranger to this church, and this was my first time seeing these sacramental acts, I would think it's kind of weird. Water and oil on the head, bread and wine in the belly, does that really mean anything? Well, the answer is yes and kind of no. We bathe, we wash our hands, we put lotion and or oil on our dry skin, we feed our hungry bellies. This is normal, everyday activity. This is normal, everyday activity. But that's the beauty of it. God takes the ordinary and turns it into the extraordinary. We do this, we do these sacramental acts, not because God is a far-off, distant God who created us and set us into motion to go and do our own thing, but because the God we serve and the God we celebrate and the God we are in relationship with is a very real, very present, very relational God. And we are very real, flesh and blood, very present, relational people. Our lives are woven together and our relationships form us to be the kind of people that we are. Good relationships form us. A good relationship inspires us, it lifts us up, it gives us hope. And our bad relationships form us too. They teach us to be careful. They teach us hard lessons about ourselves. They keep us growing. As a child, my mom used to call that character building. And of course, our common daily relationships have elements of both the good and the bad. Sometimes the hardest people to love are the ones we love the most. Sometimes the hardest people to like are the ones who are like us the most. And our relationship with God can be like that, with its ups and its downs. It's daily and it's common. But I think that we learn from that, that relationship with God, that back and forth and up and down. And I think God does too. The God of Jeremiah 31 learned that just telling people about the law was not enough. God tried that. God gave them the law. God even wrote it in stone. And the people pretty much failed. So God decided to go a different route. God tells Jeremiah that God will put the law within them and will write it on their hearts. That way God can build trust with the Hebrew people. And they don't necessarily have to use their heads to try to understand or apprehend God's law. It sounds so simple. It's just written right there. But it's sometimes difficult to do. Sometimes we have a tendency to build up barriers in our hearts so that our overambition or our anxiety or our fear makes us distrustful of love. Distrustful of love. I want to tell you a little story. It's about my dog. I got my dog Morris about 4 years ago. I was a little bit lonely at the time, and I thought it would be good to have a companion around. Now, Morris was a pound puppy. That meant that he was in the pound when I found him. I didn't really know much history about him. I actually didn't even know what kind of dog he was. When people ask me what kind of dog I have, I usually say black. Because he is. The only thing that I knew was that he was probably about 1 year in age. And so that's all we knew. Now, you need to know that Morris was the first dog I ever owned as a grown person, as a grown-up. This was a big step for me. There was a lot of responsibility involved. I was really nervous about taking care of him. I didn't know how many times dogs needed to go out and come back in. I didn't know that he could run away. I didn't know how much to feed him. I didn't know a lot of this stuff about the dog. It turns out he didn't know a lot about me either and the way that I lived, because when I first picked him up, he was afraid of darn near everything. The car door, for instance, freaked him out. He peed all over himself and all over the person that was carrying him out to the car because he saw the door open. And the door theme continued. He did not like doors. So we got to the next door, which was the screen door, and he cowered. And you can only imagine his panic as the screen door opened and there was another door there. He was scared. He trembled. And you can only imagine that when we got into the kitchen the first time and I opened that refrigerator door, he was just terrified. It nearly pushed him over the edge. Now, of course, a couple days later, he came to really recognize that the refrigerator door was actually his friend. That's a good thing to have open. And then after a few weeks, Morris got comfortable in my home. We started sort of getting to know each other a little bit better. I started to get to know his routine. He started to get to know mine. He wasn't so afraid of everything that was happening in the house. But the next challenge was not to get him unafraid of things, but to get him to stop growling and barking. Every time I reached down to pet him, he would growl at me. Every time something walked by, anything walked by, he would bark at it. And I tried everything that I could. I tried yelling at him. I tried telling him commands. I tried scolding him. I tried giving him treats. I tried putting him in a crate. Nothing really worked. And I didn't want to give him back to the pound. I felt really bad about not bonding with him. So I called my friend who trains dogs. And she explained to me, since Morris has been in a shelter for so long, probably hasn't had the kind of human contact he needed. And because we don't know where he came from or his history or anything like that, we don't know the kind of experience he's had before. She told me that Morris didn't trust me yet. And she gave me a few pointers on how to train him, not so that he would obey my orders, not so that he would obey my commands, but so that he would grow in love and trust for me. And as mine and Morris's relationship grew, he began to follow my orders. And this is not necessarily because I commanded him to do it, but because now he trusts me. He loves me, and now he wants to obey me. I didn't know in my head how to train a dog. And Morris doesn't really have much of a brain for examination or thought. But we built our relationship from our hearts. We built our relationship on love and on trust. It's almost like we know those laws of love already without even having to say anything or do anything. And this is how it is with God. Only we're not God's dogs. We're God's children. And God says, I will write my law on their hearts. I will write my law on their hearts. And this law, friends, is the law of love. And what a better way to practice this law of love today that's built on relationship and written on our hearts than to enact it in our community. Today we celebrate these sacramental acts, these acts of baptism and Eucharist that not only draw us closer to God, but help us to practice the bonds of love within our own community. Today, as we pass around the peace, I want to encourage you to greet our new friends in Christ, our new family members, our new communicants. I also want to encourage you this week to reach out to your church community in some way, shape, or form, to think about and to discover new ways that we too can learn this law of love from the hearts of one another. Amen.